Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio, talking Titans and looking ahead to the NFL draft. We'll be joined by Dane Brugler from The Athletic coming up at 7:15. We'll get his thoughts on the draft and maybe who some targets could be for the Tennessee Titans. Joe, we are less than 2 weeks away, almost a week away from the draft coming up on Thursday. Your thoughts on the draft for the Titans as we are mercifully getting closer to draft day, just a little bit less than 2 weeks away now.
My main thought is, am I going to get to draft day without having to do another mock draft?
Oh, I don't know.
Keep it down. Keep it on the DL. I don't know
either. I set the over-under last year at 3.5, and you only did 3. So
that's right.
That's disappointing.
I've done 2, so I don't know. But I can't wait for mock drafts to become irrelevant. I feel like, I don't know, maybe I just haven't been reading them as much, but it just doesn't seem like they're quite as in your face this year as in some years. I'm excited for the draft. I love the draft, and I'm really intrigued to see what the Titans are going to do. I mean, you continue to have the quarterback question. I'm not ruling it out. I don't know. There's really no reason to, other than just like in your own mind, you're warming to the idea to feel like it's more likely, but I did for a while, and now it's almost like I feel like it's getting less likely. There's no reason to, I mean, there's nothing that's happening that would tell you that, other than just in my mind, I'm talking myself more out of this idea that they might get the next quarterback. But I'm not ruling it out for sure. I might be down from 12 to like 9%.
I am ruling out inside linebacker for the Titans. This continues to happen. And maybe I'll end up being burned by this, and you can put me on like freezing cold takes or whatever, but the Titans are not drafting an inside linebacker with their first round pick.
Well,
write it down.
Yeah, and you know, I hadn't thought about this aspect of that very popular, weirdly popular mock draft choice. But David Long was asked about it yesterday, and you know, I guess you could look at it that way. People who don't know this team that well look at the Titans are like, well, they got Zach Cunningham, but you know, this sixth round pick, yeah, you know, is that what it is? Like, people just don't know them well. Look at David Long as just like a replacement lower level player. They got a rookie, so clearly they need someone to go in there with Zach Cunningham. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Yes.
I mean, again, that shows a lack of understanding of this team, but there's plenty of that in the world, you know, in the NFL world. You can only watch so much if you're trying to watch the whole league. So, I mean, anybody who watches this team closely knows that David Long is a starter and that the Titans are very excited about David Long as a starter next year, as they should be. But maybe that's part of the answer. I'm grasping for straws, the straws that are left that haven't already broken the back of the people who hate Ryan Tannehill.
Yes. I'm interested to see, you know, you're picking at 26 and you're not scheduled to pick again until 90 at that point overall in the draft. So you got, well, they got seven picks in the draft, 7 selections in the draft that they've got coming up. How many of those 7 are defensive players? That's what I'm interested to see. I mean, obviously we think they'll take 1 receiver, maybe a couple in the draft. The offensive line, we think, will be addressed in the draft at some point. Who knows? Maybe quarterback is addressed in the draft at some point. I wonder, of those 7 picks that they're scheduled to have, how many of those are going to be on the defensive side of the ball? I'm interested to see the answer to that.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot more offense. I'll be surprised if it's close to even, you know. I think just because you really need to keep working that offensive line. You know, I mean, you could use more quality depth inside and outside. You certainly need a starter level player to me at receiver still. I know some people disagree with that, but I think you look around the AFC, how much have we talked about all these quarterbacks? I mean, Kevin Byard talked about it yesterday. You know, of course, he's already like watching film on everybody, of course.
Yeah.
You know, but you got these teams are loading up in this conference. It's a better conference, period. And I think maybe by far. And you don't have one of the top quarterbacks. I think you have a better quarterback than some people think, but you know, you don't have one of the elite quarterbacks, so get yourself an elite arsenal. And you've got some really good pieces of that. And I think that they got to get a starter quality receiver. And I think that another receiver would be fine. And I think they have to get a tight end. I think they have to get a young tight end to develop on a rookie deal and have a key player there at that position. So right there, that's occupying a lot of your draft. And I haven't even gotten into running back, and I think they should draft one of those too. So
you're going zero defensive
player. Well, no, I'm not, but I'm going corner. I think honestly, if I'm designating need picks, then I'm going corner and safety. And I'm not necessarily drafting anyone in the front seven unless it's just, again, you go by your board and it's like, oh, sure. My gosh, this edge is there. He's the top guy on our board. Okay, great. Take him. Oh, this, man, I struggle with inside linebacker. I really do. I mean, like, you love your starting group and you have the rookie you drafted high last year. I struggle with using a draft pick at that position. I don't think you can have too many. Well, you can, but I think it takes a lot to have too many good edge players.
Agree. Like if it's close, you know, if you're deciding between edge and inside linebacker, I mean, I'm going edge every time. In the Titans situation right now, I'm interested defensively. Do they take a corner? And if so, when is it? Because I still think they could use some work with their corner depth. You know, I don't want to put all the eggs into the Caleb Farley basket at this point. Now, that doesn't mean you draft a corner with your first pick, but I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe in the fourth round they go to grab a corner.
Yeah, no, I'm for that. I think that's about right. And again, I've thrown out one of my beautiful mock drafts has Alante Taylor going to the Titans. Yep. Little Vols Titans connection, and I like Alante Taylor. I don't think Alante Taylor is headed for NFL stardom, but I like him. I think he's got a lot of elements that are going to give him a chance to be successful in this league. And another good young cornerback certainly could be beneficial for these guys. So, and safety depth is definitely a thing. You know, I mean, Dane Cruikshank turned into a little bit of a, you know, tight end silencer last year. He's gone. You know, it didn't work out with Brady Breeze. I think safety depth is certainly a priority, should be.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Dane Brugler from The Athletic, the draft guru for The Athletic. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and all things NFL draft. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Dane Brugler from The Athletic, who covers the NFL draft, also author of The Beast as well. Dane, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing well. Good morning, guys. We're just 9 days away from the draft, so it's going to be here before we know it, which is a good thing.
It is a very good thing. So, Dane, for our listeners who may not know, can you kind of explain what The Beast is and just the work that you put in that goes into it?
It's, in my opinion, the most comprehensive NFL draft guide that's out there. Scouting, they're testing data for 1,700 players, scouting reports for 400 players. If you enjoy the NFL draft, I promise you this is for you. Extensive background information, everything you could possibly want on these players. And so it's a resource. You know, maybe you don't agree with every single one of my rankings, and that's fine. But I think the all the background info, the testing data, pro day, combine, things like that, a lot of good nuggets in there that people will really enjoy. And all you need is your subscription to The Athletic, and it's automatically included. So it's a year in the making, and so I'm really excited that it's out there, and the feedback has just been awesome.
Yeah, it's absolutely outrageous in a good way. Actually, Dane, like, would you rather just, like, talk about the NBA draft or something today? Like, do you ever get drafted out, Dane?
No, you know, because honestly, in July, when I want to talk about these guys, nobody wants to talk about, nobody wants to talk draft with me. So, you know, even though this time of year is kind of crazy and, you know, it's I'm talking nonstop throughout the day, I truly enjoy it because I know in, you know, 2 weeks, it'll be back to, you know, business as usual and nobody wants to talk draft again. So, no, I take advantage of it while I can.
Is this sort of a... I mean, is this sort of a sweet spot in terms of fun for you because the beast is out? And so obviously there's still a ton of work. I know that you're super busy and you're, you know, it's constant draft talking things like that. But is this like a little bit more enjoyable now because the beast is out and you can kind of just see how it unfolds?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think the best time will be during the draft and we can actually talk about how this fit is going to work and why this team made this choice. And, you know, to me, that's where the real fun is. But there's definitely a sigh of relief as soon as I can hit send and the draft guide's out there. Cause like I said, it's a year in the making. I've actually just started on next year's draft guide in terms of compiling the intel and all the background work that goes into it. And so, you know, throughout the summer and then the season and then the draft process, I mean, it is truly a year in the making. And so being able to release it and all the people that really enjoy it. And I'm talking to someone yesterday who said this is the 10th year that he's got it. And that's the ultimate compliment I could receive just to know he's coming back for more, you know, based off of what I put out there. So it's been a lot of fun.
Dane Brugler from The Athletic on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So Dane, obviously, every year when draft time comes around, a lot of people paying attention to the quarterbacks, and it's interesting. Everybody's got their own thoughts on this quarterback class this year. I'm just interested from your vantage point as you look at these guys and project where they may go. What are your thoughts on the quarterback class for this year in 2022?
Well, you know, talking to people around the league, they all say the same thing. These guys are going to go. They're going to go early, and it's just a matter of when does that quarterback run start? And that's where the differing opinions are. Not only when does the quarterback run start, but who's that first quarterback off the board? What's the order? How many of these guys end up going first round? There's so many differing opinions out there about the answers to each one of those questions. But you know, in my personal opinion, I just find it hard to love any of these quarterbacks. They're easy to like, each one of these guys, but they're hard to love. And in my opinion, if you're drafting a quarterback in the first round, that means that you believe they will be a top 15 quarterback in the NFL at some point during their rookie contract. And it's hard to have conviction about any of these quarterbacks that they're going to reach that status. I think Kenny Pickett from Pitt can come in tomorrow and help you win football games. But what's his ceiling? Can he lead you to a Super Bowl? Is that the type of quarterback that he is? And if not, if you're not convinced of that, then you know what are we doing? Why are we investing a first round pick in a guy that we're not sure can take us that far? Malik Willis, the upside is through the roof, all the talent. But when do you realistically think he's going to help you win football games? When is he going to be able to get on the field and feel like he can be the guy? And that's where a lot of teams are struggling with. They're not sure year one, year two, year three. So there's just a lot of differing opinions on these quarterbacks, and that's why it's going to be so fascinating to see when these guys ultimately go on draft weekend.
A guy who really interests me, Dane, is Carson Strong. I think maybe without some injuries, maybe it'd be a different scenario for him. But he seems to be popularly, mocked in the third, fourth round range. Some people think he has, a high ceiling. What do you think about Carson Strong, and specifically, do you think he would be a fit potentially with the Tennessee Titans?
I think obviously with the Titans and the way they run that offense, I mean, you need some mobility from your quarterback. Not necessarily a running threat, but you do want some mobility to move the pocket to, especially within the pocket. And I'm not sure that Carson Strong necessarily. That's not his strength. That's not what he does best. I would compare him to kind of like a Mason Rudolph type of player where, there are things to like, size-wise, he's well-built. He has a good arm. I think there are passing instincts there with, his understanding of timing and what the coverage is doing and when the ball needs to get out of his hand. But, you mentioned the medicals. That's first and foremost the big question with him in terms of his knee, and is it going to be able to hold up? What's the long-term prognosis on the knee? But then aside from that, just his inability to extend plays, that's something that worries me with him. In today's NFL, with the way the pass rush is, with the way offenses are set up, being able to buy those extra half seconds, I mean, that is so crucial, and I think what a lot of teams are looking for in their quarterback. And I'm not sure Carson Strong, he has it in him to do that on a consistent level. And so that's my biggest concern with him, aside from the medicals, and why I think, if a team rolls the dice, if the doctors say, hey, the knee's okay, we feel good about it, maybe third round, but yeah, probably fourth round's the more likely landing spot for him.
Dane Brugler on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And Dane, obviously the Titans picking at number 26 overall at the moment. And, asking Titans fans, some think they should go wide receiver. Some think they should go quarterback. A lot of people think they should go interior offensive line as well. In terms of the offensive line, who are some guys that you think could be available around number 26 that may be good fits for the Titans?
I think there are two guards there that really make a lot of sense. Zion Johnson from Boston College, Kenyon Green, Texas A&M. Zion Johnson, 6'3", 315, can play center as well if you need that in a pinch, or maybe be the long-term answer there. He's got an awesome story just, growing up. He was mainly a golfer before trying football later on in high school, goes to Davidson, the FCS level. Transfers up to Boston College, bets on himself, and he develops into this first-round quality player. You love the size. You love the movement skills. The play strength is outstanding. And he's also just one of the best conversations I've had throughout this draft process. Just really smart, really sharp. He knows what the entire offensive line is supposed to be doing. He understands what the defenders are trying to do based on scheme and his reads. So Zion Johnson, I think I just explained the reasons why he won't be there for the Titans, but he you never know. He could be. And then Kenyon Green, you love the versatility. Started at four different positions this past year for the Aggies. And I think that's something that's really appealing about him, is just his ability to adapt. The balance that he plays with before and after contact is outstanding. And he's a young player. He just turned 21 years old. You feel like you're getting him at a point where he's going to get better and better and better. So either one of those two players, I think, is a plug-and-play guard, but also has some of that position flex if you need to reshuffle things up front.
Lotta, again, it's a good receiver draft, Dane. I mean, I feel like that's been the case quite a bit lately, but it seems like, Garrett Wilson and Drake London are kind of the guys maybe people think are going to go first off the board there. But after those two of the next group, if that's how you look at it, maybe you don't look at it like that in terms of tiers, but if you take those two out of it, of the other guys who are kind of first round, possible picks, who would you feel best about being a standout player in the NFL?
Yeah, and I think tiers is a good way to do it, because we have so much talent, especially at the top of this receiver class. I think it's a very top-heavy wide receiver group, first round, especially in the first round, but second round, third round, and that's where I think we see a little bit of a drop-off once we get to round four. But in my opinion, Garrett Wilson, Drake London, and Jameson Williams, the Alabama receiver, that's the top tier this year. And even with the ACL, I still think Jameson Williams is going to go early. There's just too much talent there. The speed is special. The knee, as long as the trainers sign off on the knee, he's going to go pretty early. That second tier with Chris Olave from Ohio State, Treylon Burks, Arkansas, Jahan Dotson, Penn State, probably even throw Sky Moore and George Pickens in there as well, in terms of just my own personal second tier. But I think there's a lot of talent in there, and there's a lot of differing talent based off of what you want, what's best for your offense. If you need that deep threat, if you need more of a possession guy, Jahan Dotson, I think is going to be a really interesting fit with the Titans. He's for a guy that's under 5'11". He might have, and this sounds hyperbolic, he might have the best ball skills and catch radius of any sub 5'11 receiver that we've seen coming into the league the last 5-6 years. I mean, he is just outstanding when the ball is in the air in terms of attacking the catch point, making plays over defenders. But he's also a top-tier athlete, low 4.4s in the 40. He can manipulate coverage, put safeties in conflict. So Jahan Dotson, to me, if he's there in that late first, I think he would be a natural fit. You just wish he were a little bit bigger. He's 5'11", around 180. And so that's you don't love the size. But everything else, kind of check marks, everything is there. But we're talking about late first round, so you have to sacrifice something with a guy like that. And I think Jahan Dotson's really interesting. Christian Watson from North Dakota State's another guy who I believe is a second-round player, but I know it's there's a good chance he goes first round because he's 6'4", and he runs a 4.3. And there's a lot to like about him, but he's a smaller player in terms of how he plays. He's big in stature, but he doesn't always play that big. And then he's also very raw in terms of his routes, in terms of his hands. So I think there's more of a projection with him. But if he hits, he's going to hit big because there's a lot of things going for him.
Well, it's going to be interesting. We're looking forward to it coming up in 9 days here for the NFL draft. And Dane, appreciate so much you taking time to join us this morning.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dane.
Absolutely. Dane Brugler from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans on the NFL draft on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Who do you want to see the Titans draft at number 26 overall? That's next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Reds fans, join us for Smashville Live tomorrow on 102.5 The Game. Smashville Live airs on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m. featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show on via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Speaking of the Predators, make sure you tuned in later today at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll have that opportunity coming up at 8:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thanks to Dane Brugler for joining us in the last segment. He was a little bit more complimentary of your Christian Watson pick there, I thought.
Yeah, well, he was just throwing me a bone because he ripped my pick. So I appreciate it, Dane. Like, and by the way, the bad mock draft you did with Christian Watson as a first-round pick, yeah, you know, I guess he's okay. But it's really good analysis. I wish he would have told me that before I mocked Christian Watson to the Titans. Really interesting stuff, actually, like on that comparison, because that was, in all seriousness, his response. So for people who don't know, you know, The Athletic had various writers, you know, do mock drafts for the teams they write about, and I put Christian Watson for the Titans on my first one, and The Athletic, it was a good idea. You have Brugler go in and basically react to the picks, and some of them is like, ooh, awesome pick, and then with mine is like, yeah, let's do Jahan Dotson. And honestly, he just sold me on Jahan Dotson over Christian Watson. It's a really interesting bit of analysis there that and he wrote it in his latest full 7-round mock. Said he might have Dotson might have the best combo of catch radius and ball skills of any sub 5'11 receiver I have ever evaluated. Very interesting. Now he also has Dotson going to the Lions at 32 in that one, but imagine how restored that roar might be. But certainly could be a good option for the Titans. There's a lot of them, you know, and interesting the way he tiers it as well. I was a little surprised as soon as I heard that about Jameson Williams. I was like, oh man, John Roberts, you better move up and go get Jameson Williams, man. Come on, ACL, and he's at. But I mean, I think he's special. So I asked him about Carson. Now I'm going to sit here and like give away all of like Dane's, you know, mock drafts. But he mocked in one of his mocks Carson Strong to the Titans there, and I've seen some other people do that. It's kind of like the, you know, yeah, you're still building around Tannehill, but then maybe get the. I don't like that idea. I don't like the idea of using one of those picks on a, maybe this guy will work out pick, you know? Like, I agree with what Dane said. If you take a quarterback the first round, you are saying, okay, this is going to be a elite quarterback in the NFL. I mean, that's what a first-round quarterback is supposed to be. Not just, well, we need a quarterback, so let's take a quarterback, right? This will happen this year. I think more of them will go in the first round than some people think. But Carson Strong, it's interesting. You know, the knee thing does make me think John Robinson too, right? It's like, ooh,
boy.
If he's healthy, he could be good. But in all seriousness, I just would, unless the Titans are like, just like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. This is the guy we wanted all along, and we can get him in the third round. I mean, unless that's the case, I just wouldn't use that pick on that.
LD from McMinnville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, personally, I can't see the Titans drafting the Penn State wide receiver due to his size. Seems to me that they prefer a bigger wide receiver. This is coming from LD from McMinnville.
Well, except that they gave a lot of money to Adam Humphries to come in and be their slot receiver, and he, when healthy, was a good slot receiver. So they didn't, you know, they didn't prioritize size there. They like Cam Batson. He plays. They like, well, they don't like Mason Kinsey. They like him. Like they don't like him, you know. They like him on the practice squad. But there's another small receiver who's around. Khalif Raymond was a small receiver who made plays. So it's not accurate to say that they only want to employ big receivers. And I think that you could look at Woods, Brown, and then have Dotson as your more of your designated slot receiver and like how that looks. Now, I agree in general, the prototype, I mean, they're outside receivers. Maybe more than some teams need to be big and physical because they do ask them to block. But they've got two big physical guys now. And they've got another one in Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. So I think there's room for a smaller, faster guy.
I do too. Now, also, like, if you love Treylon Burks and he's there and that's the guy you want, he's a bigger guy. Sure. I'm not hesitating taking him, but just because he's a bigger guy.
I'm not mad about it. Yeah. I mean, yeah, and, you know, with Christian Watson, interesting stuff from Brugger there. He doesn't play to his size as much. Sounds like he's more of a project. But but he also, what did he say? If he hits big. I mean, like when you run a 4.3 and you're 6.4, you know, if you watch film of him, and I understand it's lower level of football, it's not, you know, the SEC, but he looks like a dude to me. You know, the Burks thing, I like Burks, and of course I know you love him because he's out killing hogs, you know, with his bare hands. But, you know, D-Mace had interesting analysis on him, and I totally value this too. I like D-Mace, and D-Mace, of course, knows receivers. He's a great, all-time great NFL receiver, you know, all-time great Titan. And I agree with his analysis. I think he said it last week on the show on Darren Donick and Chase, you know, there's speed, and that's fine. That's important, but quick feet are so undervalued. He looks like the shuttles and stuff more than he looks at the 40 time. And with Burks, that is a concern: is you know, quickness of feet, long stride, big physical. I mean, he kind of like to me, it reminds me of some of like a Mike Williams kind of player. Which hey, that'd be fine. You know, that'd be more than fine. That's like that's the big hope, but quickness of feet is something D-Mace was a little bit concerned about with him, which I think is a valid concern. Of course, I also remember quickness of feet is something that was said about Derrick Henry, different position. Yes. But of course, he's not much of a playmaker, so good analysis.
Titans only have one. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam in Portland, who wants to weigh in. Adam, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, man. So I just won't apply. I don't really care. Unless you see a need that you're like, okay, we don't have a player at that position, which looking across the roster, I don't know that we have a bunch of those. You got to pick the best available player. I just want somebody who is a starter immediately and healthy. And for some reason, the Titans struggle with this. You got Isaiah Wilson. You knew he wasn't going to start immediately. You didn't know he was going to turn into such a nightmare, but they already knew he was going to back somebody up immediately. So even that was a bad pick at the moment. So Caleb Farley, I think Rashawn Evans might have been the last one that could actually play immediately. So I feel like if you're going to draft somebody in the first round, especially if you don't have a second round, he needs to be a starter. And they are bad about picking guys like that.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. We appreciate it. I mean, look, there's no question the last few drafts that has been a problem of finding somebody in the first round that could come in and contribute immediately. And that's, to me, with this team this year, you've got to have that guy. Like you've got to have somebody that could come in and do that. And you need your first round pick from last year to also be that guy this year.
Yeah. And by the way, I mean, Isaiah Wilson absolutely could have been a starter as a rookie if he was what they hoped, you know. I mean, it's not exactly the same as, like, getting Conklin back then, you know, when they got him in 16. But, I mean, Isaiah Wilson, if he had come in and immediately been like, wow, he is good. Look at this guy. He could have been a starter. And Dylan Radins last year could have been a starter. It was David Questenberry started at right tackle. So, no, I mean, I agree with Adam. And they've tried. They just have failed to find these guys. If you want a starter, then I think you can rule out defense, you know, now.
Yeah.
Hey, again, if you're going strictly by your board, maybe your board just has, like, a corner, number one. And you have to have the two things considered at once, need and your board. And I agree, they need to get an offensive player, and that person needs to come in and be – so if it's a receiver, maybe not, a starter in – certain formations, but you're one of your top three receivers. That's fine. A contributor, a difference maker on the field. I think if you draft an interior offensive lineman, if you do get one of those guards, Johnson Green, which would be kind of in that range, you really hope that person is pushing hard to start at left guard. And maybe like Nate Davis, third rounder in 2019, it takes a few games. And eventually, that's fine too. If it's not from day one, that's fine as long as it gets there at some point. The investment actually, there's some return on the investment instantly. And then, of course, if you do take a tackle, then, again, you're making a comment on Dylan Radins, and you're also saying, yep, we know that we screwed up, and here's another tackle, and this one has got to start at right tackle.
We'll continue the conversation on this at 8 o'clock. Got a lot more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant, Joe Rex Road's rant of the day. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN. 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
The driving cat, the cat who could drive a car.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day. You can catch it every day at 7:45. Here on Robbie and Rex Road. A little Toonses the driving cat bringing us back in.
Now it makes me want to rant about Jared. Thank you. I love that song.
Rex Road, your rant of the day.
Yeah, so yesterday I went and talked to a class at Middle Tennessee. Robbie, your alma mater, your stomping grounds, your old stomping grounds in Murfreesboro. Shout out to Professor Matthew Taylor. It's been a few years, with everything that's gone on. I think it's like 3 years ago I went and talked to one of his classes. It was cool to talk to this class. And also intern Nick was in the class, so that was cool.
Yeah, buddy.
Asked some good questions, lots of good questions. Great kids. Like I always say, you all want to be in journalism. Ask the questions. A lot of good questions asked. But the class was actually specifically a social media class, and I apologize, I don't remember the exact title of the class, but it's basically journalism and social media, okay? So we talked a lot about that aspect of it. And one story I told was, basically the idea of, like, how has it changed your job, over the years? And as you guys know, I'm of a certain age where I can remember where we had no social media. I mean, basically where we had no internet. We had, my newspaper website we barely paid attention to. So I go...
Had no motion picture, yeah.
Yeah, the talkies and things like that were big back in the day. Pay a penny, go to a talkie, Charlie Chaplin. So one story I told was about covering Maui, the best event to cover in the world, humble brag, and Michigan State, lost to UConn, and it was actually UConn's guard, who's amazing, just lit them up. That was the UConn team that won it all. Please help me out. Boston Celtics. Yeah.
Kemba?
Yes. Kemba Walker. Yes. Yeah. And they weren't even supposed to be that good. They were like unranked. They shocked Michigan State and they were like, oh, actually they're a better team and he's incredible. But so Corey Lucius, after like this game, he got like benched late in the game or something. So he put out a tweet. It was something like time to look out for my own or time to look out for myself or something like that. Right. Like on my own now. I mean, it was something to that effect. So this is a very early days. I mean, you're talking 2011, okay? I think 2010 or 2011. So you're very early days of Twitter, and you're still early in the stages of like, oh, an athlete tweets something or a coach tweets something, and then I guess we react to this because it's them and it's news. So everybody's freaking out, and of course it ends up like, you know, a couple days later, like he broke up with his girlfriend. So, you know, like, oh. Yeah. So anyway, that was like my first story of like, yeah, this is when I noticed how like life's going to change. So I got out of this class and had a great time. And I checked Twitter and I saw this AJ Brown stuff. And basically my rant today is like, what we do sometimes is so stupid. It's so, so dumb. I mean, AJ Brown took Tennessee out of his bio, and it's like, I mean, it's just a huge thing. He took Tennessee. It's not even like he took Titan stuff out of his bio. He just took the all caps word Tennessee out of his bio, and it becomes this huge, what does it mean? And again, I'm not against ripping any of these people. I'm not necessarily ripping these people, but let's go to John Glennon. Quote, Titans wide receiver AJ Brown appears to be following the lead of at least two other 2019 draftees, Arizona's Kyler Murray and San Francisco's Deebo Samuel, who want contract extensions. Is it a frustration thing, I wonder, or is the expectation that this would impact contract talks? Again, these are all fair questions, and this is good context because this is a thing now. This is now apparently a thing, and maybe this is strategy from AJ Brown. Yeah, but again, if it is strategy, like what? So is John Robinson like, whoa, he had all caps Tennessee in his Twitter bio, and now he doesn't. Oh, my God, that's $2 million a year.
Yeah.
I don't know. All I know is, like, sometimes you need to step back. I mean, this is a blast, what we do. This is a blast. Wouldn't trade it for anything. But, man, it is so dumb sometimes. So dumb. I still love it, though. That's all I got.
It is amazing that the this is now the third time. I mean, I think it's been more than three, but it's certainly Kyler Murray, Deebo Samuel, now AJ Brown. You change your Twitter bio. I mean, in Kyler Murray's case, he like deleted everything on Instagram that was associated with the Arizona Cardinals. So I guess at least AJ hasn't done that. I guess I need to go check his Instagram page and make sure there's still some evidence that at one point he played for the Titans. But it's amazing that this is the time we're living in the world of sports. It really is.
Yeah. I mean, and again, like with Kyler Murray, like that's clearly, like you're clearly making a statement, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like with what Kyler Murray did, that was like the number one story in sports for at least part of that day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at least, like, I mean, that was pretty dramatic. I mean, this is the word Tennessee. You know, it doesn't even, not even Tennessee Titans, just the word Tennessee. I have my serious doubts that this is, I mean, maybe it's, you know, again, we're just guessing. I have my serious doubts that like, this is like his agent saying, yeah, take out Tennessee, then they'll get the picture. Maybe, but I doubt it. Now, is it AJ Brown listening to people who live in Tennessee who say ridiculous, stupid crap about him on the radio, and then he gets mad and tweets about it? Maybe that's it. I don't know. But it's like one word that he took out of his bio. It's the off season, I guess. And so I guess we're going to react to stuff, but it's just I just can't get to the point where this is all that impactful or exciting.
Well, Joe.
Well, oh, go ahead, Michelle.
We know that if you took your hotline, your Hall & Oates hotline, out of your bio, that'd be a big statement by you.
Well, John Oates would probably freak out. Yeah.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, John Oates, might call up angrily. Yeah. No, you're right. That's true. That's a very good point. I will never take the Hall & Oates hotline off my Twitter bio. I promise you. Anything else is up for grabs, family pictures, whatever. Hall & Oates hotline, that's staying, baby. Where do you go from there, Robbie? Let's see how you transition out of that, Robbie.
Well, I was just going to say it's a new thing. It's a new wave of athletes. So this could be the way of the future now in terms of, like, if you're a free agent, you're looking for a new contract, are we just going to see this massive wave of NFL players from now on taking their, you know, their city location, now their bio, and deleting everything associated with their team until their contract is renewed at that point? Like, if Kyler Murray gets signed to an extension by the Cardinals, is he going to go like back through his Instagram and reinstate all of his Cardinal stuff. How do you do that?
Wait, didn't he do? Did he not restore some? I thought there was another follow-up news story about that. Am I wrong about
that? Well, you can like archive them. So essentially, he could take them all off and then bring them all back.
I thought he did, though. No? Am I just imagining that?
Look, I'm not up to date on Kyler Murray's Instagram page, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, and
I'll go right now.
Thank you. I don't even know how to do that. So.
Oh, they're back on there. He's all in.
Okay, so there you go. So I thought that there was. So there you go. So there was actually, I'm pretty sure, like follow up news stories about him putting it back on social media. You know. But hey, it is, and you know what? It's still like I think back to the early days when you're just like, this is so weird, you know. Like, we're actually going to write stuff about Twitter. But then it's like, well, it's actually, as long as you know it's actually the person, that could be, and especially in the early days too, a little bit, like, wait a minute, is this a fake account? But as long as it's actually the person, well, yeah, like, that's them actually saying something, you know?
Yeah.
You don't have to have a stupid press conference or have a phone interview to hear from them. But now, yeah, it's like these little cryptic, you know, messages you're trying to send. It's like taking my ball and going home until you give me a new deal.
I got a texter that says, wouldn't it be something if he put New York in his bio? It's coming from a texter from the text line.
Or just put like a little picture of the Statue of Liberty or something, you know?
Yeah.
Or like a Sbarro pizza, you know? Yeah. The best pizza really place in going. New York. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, just a little hint. It's amazing. But hey, again, not complaining. Not complaining about it. Just sometimes it is like we got to laugh at it.
This has been the record rant. You can check it out every day at 7:45 here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll get back into the draft. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Pro Golf coming to Nashville this May with the Simmons Bank Open. Text the keyword golf to 615-737-1025 for a chance to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drink, plus a Predators gift pack, including a polo shirt, golf balls, and umbrella. Text golf to 615-737-1025 and be entered to win. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.